They killed the sacrifice and put the blood on their doors. They were spared from death. Not one person died in a house where the blood had been applied. Now, there are important lessons for us to learn here today. Much teaching in our Christian New Testament is based on this Passover occasion in ancient times. Hebrews 11:28 reads, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." References to the faith of Moses during those fearful days of the death of the firstborn of all the land of Egypt. We read the historical record of that in the book of Exodus, chapters 6 through 12. I will review it for you before we make application of those truths to us today. The people of Israel moved from Canaan to Egypt when there was only 70 of them. They settled in the land of Goshen in the northern delta of the Nile River. But after four centuries, they had increased to more than 3 million persons. The Egyptians became suspicious and fearful of so many foreigners living in their country, and they agreed it was necessary to put them under strict control, lest an invading army should find them willing to cooperate against the motherland. So the Egyptians put the Hebrews under a yoke of abject slavery. The Bible says they made their lives bitter. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. The enslaved people cried out to God. He acknowledged their burdens, resolved to deliver them as he had promised before to do. But now God was ready to select the man he would use to bring the nation from their bondage in Egypt to their inheritance in Canaan. And the man he selected was Moses. Moses had been reared as a prince in Egypt, but he had fallen into disfavor with Pharaoh and had to flee for his life from the country. In the land of Midian, he met a priest of God named Jethro, married one of Jethro's daughters. While keeping his father-in-law's flocks in the back of the desert, Moses had a vision from God. From a bush which burned was not consumed by the flame, God appeared to Moses and commissioned him to return to Egypt and lead the Hebrews out. Egypt was a land filled with idolatry at that time. They worshipped many gods, the names of many of which we know today: Osiris, Isis, Horus, Set, Re, and many others. Standing above all their idol gods was the Lord God, unknown to those ancient Egyptians. God resolved to do two things in the event of the Exodus. First, to deliver the Hebrews from their bondage, and second, to exalt himself above all the gods of Egypt so they would know him to be the sovereign God of all the world. So God moved against Egypt, showing his power and majesty by bringing 10 judgments upon that nation. Each judgment was more severe than the one before because Pharaoh hardened his heart, and each judgment was directed against one of the gods worshipped by the Egyptians. The 10 plagues included turning the water to blood, frogs covering the land, lice everywhere, swarms of flies, disease on the cattle, boils on men, a plague of locusts, 3 days darkness, and the death of the firstborn. Now it is the death of the firstborn to which the reference is made in our text of Hebrews 11:28. God announced that coming plague 14 days before it fell. The firstborn of every human and beast would die in Egypt on the night of the 14th day of that month. The only ones to escape would be those who believed God's warning and made the preparation which he decreed. On the 10th day of the month, each family was to select a lamb. It was to be kept 4 days to determine that it was healthy and whole. It was to be killed on the afternoon of the 14th day of the month. Its flesh was to be roasted in fire and eaten that night. Its blood was to be put on each side and across the top of the door of each believing household in Egypt. God promised that when he passed through the land in the judgment of death, he would pass over the house where he saw the blood on the doorposts. It happened. At midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. The result was there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. God's judgment had fallen. But what about Moses and the Hebrews? Well, they believed God. Therefore, they killed the sacrifice and put the blood on their doors. They were spared from death. Not one person died in a house where the blood had been applied. Now, there are important lessons for us to learn here today. Much teaching in our Christian New Testament is based on this Passover occasion in ancient times. For instance, Jesus is called the Lamb of God in the New Testament. He is referred to as Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. We're said to be redeemed from the death sin brings with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It is evident the meaning in those statements. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the picture shown in the Passover lamb in the days of the Exodus. Jesus was chosen, as was the Passover lamb. He was tried to test his purity. He died to avert judgment. Protection was found for those under his blood, but the judgment of death fell upon those who refused his protection. An understanding of the Passover in Exodus 12, I say, helps us to appreciate the more the work of Jesus on our behalf. As our Passover lamb, Jesus brings four great evidences of protection to us. First, Jesus protects us from death. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Second, Jesus protects us from judgment. He said, "He who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment," condemnation, "but is passed from death unto life." Third, Jesus protects us from falling. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Fourth, Jesus protects you from perishing. He says of those who believe in him, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." What a promise that is. Can you, like Moses, trust God to keep you safe when death is all about you? Can you trust him to preserve you when judgment falls? Well, you can if you believe what he has said about Jesus Christ. For Moses and the people of Israel believed God, made the required preparation of sprinkling the blood, and were spared. You and all true Christians believe God. You have received the required preparation by repentance and faith, and you have been spared. That's the essence of the Christian gospel. So please, turn all confidence from every other person and thing. Set all of your hope on Jesus today. Trust him and him alone, and you will discover that he alone is enough. Father, what you have shown us in the historical records of the Passover lamb so long ago teaches us to trust the Lamb of God today. Oh, we do believe you and we do trust him. We turn in confident faith to Jesus, whose blood will effect salvation from judgment that's coming upon all the world. We thank you for bringing this message into our hearing. We thank you that whoever will may come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And we pray that upon hearing this word, many may come to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.